Ladies and gents, welcome back to the Velocity Podcast. This is episode number 37, and what we're titling Fully Booked in 5, because that is the name of the five-day challenge that we've just kicked off today, my friend, isn't it? And what we're going to share in this episode is a resounding standout takeaway that we observed from the session that we ran, and it was so applicable across all the coaches there. If you are a personal trainer, and you want to get fully booked either this side of Christmas or just after, then I think it could be immensely valuable for you. So that's going to be our main theme. But first of all, let me check in with you, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Yeah, feeling very, very good. Had a good weekend with the children, nice and chilled. Quite looking forward to this weekend. I bought my wife a present to take her out on a day where we do loads and loads of random shit, and I booked it all up on Saturday night. So kids are going away to the grandparents, and we're just basically going back to being like 18 again. So we're going tenpin bowling at like 9 o'clock in the morning, ice skating, axe throwing. There's like a secret cocktail bar, loads of random stuff that we're going to be doing. So it should be cool. Looking forward to that. How about you?
That's really fun. I imagine when you're there at 9 a.m. in a bowling alley, like you'll literally be the only like adults only lane there, because everyone else is in the thick of their like kids, like young kids' birthday parties. And I can just see people looking across being like, are they got kids with them? And it's just you two just like rocking up.
Although it does remind me of my wedding day. Do you remember we went bowling on on the morning of my wedding, because I wanted to just ease the nerves with a couple of strikes. So
yeah, I did. It was a really strange morning. Like, yeah, let's go bowling. I don't think it was planned. We just thought that's a good way to pass the time.
Yeah, very strange. How are you, mate? You well?
I'm all right. I said to you yesterday, I'm a solid 5.6 out of 10 because our poor little daughter's not well, and naturally, both me and Natalie have now got what she's suffering from. So, a bit of man flu. Apologies for the sniffles on this audio recording, but I'm hanging in there. I've got the drugs, and it will carry me through the day.
I'm secretly loving watching Dave struggle, because for many years I was the fucker struggling with the kids, and he was absolutely fine, sprightly. Yeah, I got my 9 hours sleep. I've done my yoga. I've done my meditation. What are you on about, Craig? Everything's fine. So
back on. Yeah. Sleep. Why? Just do it anyway.
It's hard, isn't it? Bloody hard. But there we go. Maybe a different podcast.
It is, and maybe we should do it might be a good idea, to be fair, to talk to the personal trainers who are parents, because it's multitudes more difficult to build and run a business when you've got children and all the trials and tribulations that brings.
For sure. But for today, fully booked in 5. So team, we opened up 100 spots for personal trainers to come and learn with us for free for 5 days. And the goal was to equip them with the knowledge to be able to go out there and implement and become fully booked in their business after 5 days training with us. And I think what people expect when they come onto these things is some kind of snake oil, some kind of magical kind of theorem that has been missing, or a new social media account that nobody knew about, where there's lots and lots threads of personal training clients.
Basically, get threads, put all your content on there, and you'll have a ton of clients.
Done. Just make shitloads of reels with like fashionable tunes in the background and get your boobs out and you'll be fine.
And do the sort of
do all the pokey shit. So we're talking about what really works in Fully Booked in 5. And we run 2 sessions on a Monday. We had about 60 people in this morning, about 40 are coming this evening. And we've done this five times now. And every single time. Oh, this is our fifth. Okay. Every single time we've done it, it's been the same in terms of the realizations that have hit. But I think this time around, there was just more people that it seemed to land with today, which was quite interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we went through, it was essentially a 3-part realization exercise. So we want to take you through today what we did. And then if you play along with the exercise, I think it might unveil something that will allow you to, unblock the flow of the dam. Like to let motion happen again. Like if you've been stuck, you've not been growing, this might help uncover why, and therefore it becomes clear on what you need to do about it. Right. And I think I was telling It was actually a coaching clip that I sent to our cheater squad earlier. I don't know if you've listened to it yet because it was only 2 hours ago. But I shared to them the consciousness competence model. And I think it's a really important thing that everyone should know in their own self and professional development that like this is all around you. And so the four stages to this model, this is about learning and anything new. Stage one is unconscious incompetence, as in you don't know that you suck at something. And that's fine because we all suck at a lot of stuff when we start out. And it's just as we learn more, we practice and we do reps on the stuff, we get better. So that's just normal, right? But then once you have light shone on that area, you become aware of it. So now I'm consciously incompetent. I know that I'm not doing something that well, but now I can actually direct some attention towards it. Stage three is once you've practiced, you've then become consciously competent. So I'm very aware that I'm doing this thing better, but it's taking effort. I'm thinking about doing something well. It's like when you're squatting and you're learning to squat better, you're actively thinking about screwing your heel into the ground and rotating your hip out. Or I'm thinking about drawing my chest up to the ceiling because I want a straighter spine. And those things are very conscious, but practice them long enough and you move to stage four, which is unconscious competence. And I do stuff and I don't even think about it. It's just done very well. And this exercise, maybe you can kick us off, mate, is the second phase. It's actually helping you understand and see things that you didn't see before, which gives you a new sense of awareness to improve you or your business.
Yeah, so powerful. So what we did was we looked at our roadmap as an example. We looked at the velocity roadmap, which is the pathway towards consistent 7K months in your business and what we use to coach our coaches through that pathway to help them identify what they need to be focused on. And our roadmap has got four pillars to it, four key pillars. One is attract, one is convert, one is serve, and one is systemize. And these are the four key things that you need if you want to build an amazing business. And certainly if you want to get to consistent 7K months with balance, without overwhelm. So we won't go into those pillars as such today, but we'll just talk about the realization, the thing that happened in the group. So when we explained each one of the pillars, we got everybody to grade themselves out of 10, i.e. how competent were they in their own mind at achieving this thing within their business? So with attract, how good were they at generating leads and turning them into prospects? With convert, how good were they at actually turning those prospects into clients? With serve, how much time and attention and effort were they putting into their service? And with systemize, how many things did they have set up to make the growth of their business smooth? And we got them to rank it all out of 10. And I think we took the average of the group. I think the average for attract was like 4 out of 10. Convert was very similar.
Yeah.
Systems, I think, was like 3, 3.5 out of 10. So all pretty low. And then serve was like 7.5, 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this has happened every single time. Yeah. So they knew and they ranked themselves highest in that area. Then we asked a very powerful question.
Okay, just but Paul, I'm just going to insert there. So that was stage one. Stage one was this kind of self audit of, okay, use our roadmap as this kind of 4-point checklist, if you like, to say, okay, well, if I know business is broken into these four main key areas, grade yourself in those areas relative to these criteria. And then I know where I'm strongest and where I'm weakest. And that was kind of step one.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. So once they've established that, they were more aware of strengths and weaknesses. We asked them this question, which was, where are you currently spending all of your time and all of your effort and all of your energy? And it was a resounding response back to serve. So the thing that they're already best at, they were spending their most time continuing to work on. Just think about that for a second and what that means for their business. And by the way, most of these people are there because they want to learn how to get fully booked. They want to learn how to get more clients. They've said they're strong in serve and they're spending all of their time in serve.
And the metaphor is, imagine you've got a client and that client wants to get stronger in their deadlift. So you bring them to the squat rack and you set a bar up and you're like, cool, let's start to work our way up through the weights and see how strong you are now, how much weight you can lift. And you reach the point of where they can no longer pick up the bar. And you ask them a question. You say, is the thing, where is your body failing? Where is it tiring and unable to perform? And they probably say, for most people, it's wrist strength. They say, like, my hand just can't hold onto the bar. So in that moment, in that exercise, you've identified that the thing holding me back from lifting a heavier weight, in other words, being stronger in that movement, is my wrist. And the metaphorical equivalent for this individual and you as the trainer is to give them more strength work, for the more exercises for the glutes, more things for the hamstrings, more things for the spine, and continue to totally neglect the wrist strength, which is the thing that's holding them back. And so what you end up with is a person, or again, switching metaphor, a personal trainer with massive potential, because their glutes and their hammies and their back are strong as an ox. They're so good, but they still can't lift any heavier weight. As in, they still can't get over 10 sessions a week or $3,000 a month. They can't surpass it because they continue to make their glutes stronger, make their hamstrings stronger, and nothing changes. And so what we're doing in this challenge, and what we are committed to do for our clients at Velocity and everyone else that we interact with, is A, help them unveil where their weaknesses are, and then spend time working on them so that overall we can improve our performance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always so powerful. And it was, so the biggest takeaway then at the end of the session, we did a few other things. We predicted their income goals, which was brilliant. So by the end of today's session, everybody knew what they needed really to be charging, how many sessions they were going to be delivering, what their product needed to look like, how many leads they needed to generate, how good they needed to be at turning those leads into prospects and prospects into clients, all of that in this 90-minute session. And we even gave them a predicted date at when they would achieve their goal. But the biggest takeaway, when we asked them at the end just to type into the chat, what's your biggest takeaway from today? They all said it was understanding how much more I needed to be working on attract was the thing that they said, and that they're spending all of their time currently on serve. And it kind of makes sense in a way, because they know what they're doing in serve. Personal trainers, if you're listening to this and you're a PT, you know how to serve your clients. You might not be the finished article. And if you claim to be, then there's probably a bit of an ego pattern that needs to be broken down there. But you're probably good enough, right? You're good enough to get some results. You know how to train people. And so what do we do as human beings that seek comfort? We carry on doing the things that we know how to do, and we avoid and we remove ourselves from the things that are uncomfortable or that we're not sure of. So it kind of makes sense, but it's also a massive slap in the face for someone that actually wants to build their business. And I've been receiving tons of personal messages today. You probably haven't seen this as much, Dave, but I've had loads of messages today from people saying, oh my God, that was amazing. I didn't realize where I was going wrong, but now I know.
It's so simple as well. Like, at least from our point of view, and I would understand, because we can take ourselves back to when we were trainers, and like we didn't know what we didn't know then what we know now. And that's normal. That's to be expected. And what we're trying to do is take the realization, the learnings that we picked up over the last 15 years or so, and then kind of hand them down to people who are going through that phase that we went through. And if we can shine the light and unveil some of those biases, those kind of things that we're doing that we don't know we're doing that are understandable, then we can help people get fully booked much faster. And so to summarize that three-step process, step one was audit, like see where you're good, see where you're not. Step two is identify, by doing the audit, you'll identify where you're spending most of your time, and therefore where you're missing out on spending time. What's the thing that you're neglecting that you should be spending more time on? It might not be conscious, but as soon as you like see it, you're like, fuck, yeah, I can see that now. And then step three is then begin to break down a project plan, like a list of actions, the actual things that you're going to do, which will give you the outcome that you're now chasing. And so that kind of is the third piece in the puzzle.
So you're telling me that if I go do my GP referral or my lower back pain, I'm not going to necessarily get more clients. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. You'll have to go and try it out for yourself and see how it happens. No, it's funny, because once you go through the process, those questions become obvious and you're like, oh shit, no, I don't need to go and do another course. I actually need to do stuff that's going to get my name out there and get me in more conversations with potential clients. And so even though you don't have all the answers in that moment, nor did the people who were on this session, that at least it points you in the right direction. It's a bit like you set a goal. I want to get fully booked. I want to get clients. I want to earn some good money. And that's directionally north, but actually I'm currently facing and moving south, because all I'm doing is Like, I'm doing loads of stuff that's not going to make any difference towards the actual number of clients I have. So as soon as you wake up, you know, and get out of the matrix, so to speak, I'm like, cool, at least I'm pointing in the right direction. And now I can work at putting one foot in front of the other and starting to move forward.
Totally. It's like, let's build the business. Let's get some clients to work with. Then we can work out how we're going to add even more value than what you already have right now. And that's going to be the thing that's going to assist the growth of your business. But to only face in one direction, it's a big limiting factor. So hopefully that's been useful for you as the listener to understand and maybe have a think about.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one other point that's just escaped me now. That's my brain not treating me right today. But there was a really interesting point that now I'm not going to be able to share. It might come back to me in a minute.
Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it really does. Oh no, here it is. It's come back. Momentary lapse. I think there's a flaw, right? And if I could just, my last piece on this subject is that a lot of trainers spend time in serve, becoming a better coach, which is a reasonable thing, before they've got the number of clients or anywhere near the number of clients that they need. Now, I think the paradox here is that you only really become a better coach by working with more clients.
Totally.
Because theory's wonderful. You can read loads of textbooks, watch loads of YouTube videos, study some material that you've had on a workshop you attended last year. All great stuff. Wonderful theory, ideas, fab. But it only really becomes applicable when you try and apply that theory to an individual with a unique history and a unique life circumstance and a unique situation in relation to their health and fitness. And then you have to work at trying to apply that stuff. And I think it's generally, like, speak on your behalf for a second, it's our stance that you already know enough. And actually, you've got to, the way you become a better coach in the biggest strides and the fastest speed is by applying the stuff you already know to those people. You will become a better coach significantly. And then, as Craig said, once you get more clients, you can then accelerate that because you have more to leverage. You have more clients on which to apply that knowledge. So that's why we like to get people doing more attract work. And then later we can head back to serve and make the whole piece better.
Tell you what that reminds me of is when you go on a course with other personal trainers, there's 30 of you there, and let's say you're doing like a functional movement course, for example.
Yeah.
Classic. And you go and do it and you practice these drills and these exercises on other coaches that can move.
And understand the cues, like they know what drive that hip forward means.
Yeah, for sure. And then you go back to the gym and you're really excited to work with 55-year-old Mary and show her what you've just learned. And she hasn't got a fucking clue what you're on about. She doesn't know how to drive her hip forward. She keeps falling over when she puts one foot in front of the other. And you realize that, and again, I'm not belittling these courses. They're great. But Dave's point about like being hands-on, you realize that actually that course that you learn, you don't need to go and study another one. You need to now work out how the fuck am I going to implement that into the general population? It's a bit like when you first pass your driving test. If you drove like that all the time, everywhere, absolutely perfectly, ironically, you'd probably crash, but it would take you forever to get anything done. So you have to find your own groove, your own rhythm. It's the same with that within your business. So yeah, that was the big takeaway. Hopefully that's been interesting, at least for you to think about. And that idea of like, where are you actually trying to take your business right now? And what are the actions that you're currently doing to get you there? Are they misaligned? That's a question that you can take away from, hopefully, from today's podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll finish up in our usual manner. Craig and I like to find a fun fact and then share it at the end of this podcast. So I'll go first. Here's my prelude to this one. And there's a serious point to this. Sometimes they're a bit tongue-in-cheek and a bit trivial. But this one, I think, has a little bit of gravitas, right? Ooh. And that's partly a pun. So I think one of the... If I get stressed, if I get overwhelmed, if I struggle with decision making when we're doing stuff that's challenging our journey, like me and Craig on our journey to grow velocity and on our personal journeys as well. And if I get a bit stressed, a bit overwhelmed, if I feel imposter syndrome breaking down, there's one thing that I do, I keep coming back to, and it's this, it's two words, and it's a phrase that Craig and I share quite a bit. It's zoom out. And zoom out basically means to come out and realize how relatively insignificant the problem that you're dealing with now is in the grand scheme of things, of our journey on in business overall. Like we're young, we're 2 years in together in Velocity, maybe a little bit more, but like relatively young. We're young in terms of we're not 40 yet, and we've got many decades left in us to play at this game. But then we could zoom out even further than that and be like, well, we're humans on a 7 billion population strong planet that will be over in the blink of an eye relative to human species. And it's like, actually, what we're doing right now doesn't matter. So therefore, stop stressing about it. And the quote that made me, like when I was looking through quotes to share with you, it is this: it would take 19 minutes to free fall to the center of the Earth. 19 minutes to free fall. I haven't done a sky jump before, but or a plane jump. But like that sounds like a crazy long amount of time, to be honest. And that's like the scientific kind of workings out. Obviously, no one's done it. But it's just another way of saying, look, we're tiny in the grand scheme of things, and the stuff you're stressing about now doesn't matter so much. So move on and start doing shit, and soon you'll realize that it didn't matter.
Love that. We're going to have to stop doing this because my facts are dog shit compared to the depths that you go to. So here's mine.
To be fair, all you have to do is remind me of the Eiffel Tower thing, and then it's fine.
True. Yeah, that was shit. So here's mine. I just found this just made me laugh because I can just imagine. Well, I'll tell you it first. Sperm whales in the Caribbean have an accent.
Oh, I'd love. What do you think their accent sounds like?
I can just imagine them with like a massive spliff, big Rastafarian hat, asking for some beer can. Yeah, that made me laugh. So researchers in Canada and the University of St. Andrews in the UK have found evidence, and fuck knows what that means, by the way.
I'd love to see that evidence.
Have found evidence that seem to show whales in the Caribbean have a different accent than whales in other oceans. So they've found evidence that seems to show. So probably not a fact, more of a hypothesis, but I'm going to choose to believe it. I'm going to choose to believe there are sperm whales in the Caribbean right now sparking up a doobie and sitting with their little Rasta hat asking for some beer can.
Incredible. What a way to wrap up the podcast. Team, we hope you've enjoyed this one, and we'll see you again very, very soon.